Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service, and the full recording can be found on our Facebook page as well as our YouTube channel, both linked on our website. The reading is taken from Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35. We continue our sermon series, You Are Not Your Own, and the Reverend David Wilkie reflects on forgiveness in community.
Today's reading is Matthew 18, 21 to 35, and it's the parable of the unforgiving servant. In the verses before today's reading, Jesus was talking about what to do if a brother sins against you. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he, his wife, and his children, and all that he had, to be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. This is the word of the Lord.
Right, well, I want to talk to you today about forgiveness. Surprise, surprise. It's a really tricky concept, and I just want, first of all, to play... I wondered, when you came through these doors this morning, I wondered if there's anything you think of that might, you know, you might want to ask for forgiveness for. Often it's not the thought when we first come into church. But I wonder if this morning there's something that we need to say sorry for as you came through these doors. Now I want to play a quick game. It's a forgiveness game. For some reason these faces have got the wrong way around. I think the tricky ones went to the enemy. So I want you to give me thumbs up if you think this is an easy thing to forgive someone for. Maybe in the middle if it's tricky. Thumbs down if this is a hard thing to forgive you for. Now, when I was sitting there, my belly is a bit rumbly. I'm a bit hungry now. And you've just, so just imagine you've just made the most perfect sandwich. It's incredible. I don't know what you would put in that. Maybe like some chutney, some salami, maybe a BLT. Oh my gosh. Or a cheese and pickle or a classic egg mayonnaise. Anyway, there's this amazing, you can tell I'm hungry. There's this amazing sandwich that's there, and you've spent like half an hour making this beautiful creation. And it's there in a Tupperware next to you where you're sat now. And then during the praise time, you look over, and the person next to you is tucking into it. They're just munching down on it. And they're just like, they don't even care. They're just like, yeah, I'm hungry. This looks too good. And they're just going away at it. Now, is that an easy thing to forgive for? Tricky or hard? What do you think? Tricky? There's some trickies. There's some easy, some very generous people here. I think, it's funny. I think most of the men were either tricky or hard. And some of the ladies were like, yeah, I can handle that. I think you're more stable than we are. Okay, now imagine you're walking along and someone just comes and trips you over. You fall down, you really badly hurt your knees. You look up, the person's running off. Now, is that an easy thing to forgive? Tricky or hard? It's just like a faceless attack, it is. It's hard, isn't it? It's getting hard. Yeah, it's hard. Some things are harder to forgive than others. So, maybe another. So, you have a phone call from the bank, and they want your details just to check that it's you. See, you're busy. You're running to and fro. You're like, yeah, okay, get this phone call quickly done with. You give them some details. You think nothing of it. Next week, you look in your account. It's all gone. All your money. It's vanished. Is that a easy thing to forgive, tricky, or near impossible? Yeah, that's really near impossible. That's really hard. That's really hard. Now, someone you know quite well has come to you, and they have forgotten your name. They're like, hi, mate. That's awkward, isn't it? Or hi. And you're like, come on, I've known you for so long. Is that easy, tricky, or hard? What do you think? Is that Yeah, so that's easy, isn't it? So I don't know if you noticed, but there's a difference in separation going on here. It's how we're connected makes forgiveness different. We're all deeply connected. And the person sat next to us, or a friend that forgets a name, it's kind of easier to forgive them. There's also, family can be tricky as well. And actually, we're very close. And that is sometimes really hard to forgive because they know us so well. We're most vulnerable with them. And actually, when they hurt us, it really hurts. But then there's also the faceless crimes. You don't even know who's got your money, your hard-earned money. It's vanished. There's the crimes where someone's done something to you, hit your car in a car park and not owned up to it, tripped you over, just run off. And then it's so tempting to just demonize that person. Oh, they must be so evil to do such a thing to me. How could they do that? And you feel this weight on you. And so I don't remember why or when, but I start to get a bit of weight to my back. Things start to get a little heavy. Maybe it was when I was in school. So I lived in Scotland for a while. And then I moved to Norfolk, and they couldn't understand me at 8 when I was broad Scottish. And then my parents, being really cruel, moved me back up to Scotland, and I just got a Norfolk accent. And now I'm in Scotland, and they're like, oh my gosh, you're really English. And they're all, it's just, oh, come on. And so I remember being teased for that. And you just get a bit of weight and a lack of forgiveness about people and how mean they could be. So, Leo, can you add a weight to my bag? I feel like this isn't quite heavy enough. Actually, all the hard things I've been through. Do you think you could just pop this and put that weight in my bag? Here you go. You put it in there? Oh, that's a bit heavier. Thank you. Oh, right. I've got a bit more weight to me now. That feels more like me. Whew. Right. Thing is, though, we are deeply connected to one another, but also to God. In Matthew 6:14, it says, if we can't forgive each other, then God can't forgive us. And I think how easy that is. If it's a friend or something like that, but actually, what if it's a faceless thing? What if it's someone far off? Now, in this book, Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes, we've been using this for the Lord's Prayer. some of us, and it's very good. Well, he wrote this piece I just want to share with you today, because this is what really convicted me this week. The South African writer Laurens van der Post was interred by the Japanese during World War II and almost died as a result. In his book, Venture to the Interior, he describes how after the war, he discovered that the war crime officers, who had not suffered in the conflict, were more vengeful and bitter about the treatment and our suffering in prison than we were ourselves. Van der Post goes on to say, I have so often noticed that the suffering which is most difficult, if not impossible, to forgive is unreal, imagined suffering. There is no power on earth like imagination, and the worst, most obstinate grievances are imagined ones. Let us recognize that there are people and nations who create with a submerged deliberation a sense of suffering and of grievance, which enable them to evade a sense of reality, and they go into this self-importance, personal pride, national pride, and these ills grow and grow, and they end up being a burden on our lives. Now, I remember talking about the war in Ukraine, and when I see Russians having a good summer, I feel angry. I'm struggling to forgive this nation, even though I don't know them. They're not my friends. I don't actually know them. But the harm they've caused, the injustice that is there, I feel angry. I feel weighted by it. I feel burdened. Can I have another weight in my bag? This isn't heavy enough. Harry, you've got a heavy one. Can you pop that in there? Oh, yeah, that's a bit more like it. Oh, no, it's gone. I'm a bit lighter suddenly. Oh, amazing. Thank you. Right. So we're putting weights in my bag, and I just feel a bit churned up by that. But also there's people, not real people, but people groups in my life that I know I have a prejudice against. I struggle to forgive. And what does that do to me? The old saying is, it's like you have this enemy, and then you prepare a poison chalice for this enemy. And you think, if I'm really angry, if I'm fueled with anger and bitterness, and if I get them to drink this, they'll be hurt. But what ends up happening is you just end up drinking it yourself. And this other person doesn't even know that you're angry with them. And you end up being poisoned by your own anger and bitterness about the state of this world. And that is not to shy away. It's not to see the hurt that is going on. But it is to give it to God. That is what forgiveness is. Not to forget, it's to forgive. And actually, that anger can be purified. And you can still be compassionate and fight for justice, but it's not with a vengeful anger. It's with a purity that only God can bring. Often the saying is, never forget and never forgive. The anger is the fuel for this world. Never forget. There's a story I want to share with you this morning. It's a man called Jesus. And he went to the cross. And he was convicted in an unfair trial by a guy called Pilate. He was beaten up by soldiers he didn't know. He was then stabbed onto the cross and left there to die. And instead of his words being, oh, if only you knew who I was, oh, I could call down so much anger upon you, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you know what? He didn't go to the centurion and say, look, you need to apologize to me. You need to say sorry for what you've done here. The chief priest, he said, yeah, look, I know you're trying your best, but you've got this completely wrong. Can you please say sorry to me now? And then I'll forgive you. There was none of that, was there? He said, forgive them. He didn't wait for an apology. And that is the power of Christ in us, is to be able to say sorry without having an apology. So this story is Ruby Bridges. I don't know if you know her story. She was age 6 when she made history in 1964, when she attended a formerly all-white school. So Ruby was escorted by federal marshals. Now, I don't know if you walk to school, children, but if you do, can you imagine being escorted by 20 to 30 police? And as you walk to school, you're going through crowds who are shouting at you, telling you you shouldn't be there. They're throwing tomatoes. They're having a go at you for being there. And then you get into school, and there's just one teacher that has agreed to teach you, someone called Barbara Henry. And the rest of the school is empty, apart from a handful of students. Now, she was the first person to attend this all-white school. And she didn't, she says herself, she didn't know about racism at 6 years old. But when she sat in that classroom, she began to learn about it. Later on, in 2011, she met with President Obama. And this is the picture in the Oval Office hanging on the wall by Norman Rockwell. And when Obama met with her, he said, "I think if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here today." And she told him this story that she once went through all these protesters. They're all shouting angry things at her. And she stopped and talked to them. And when she got into the school, the teacher was like, "What did you say? Did you say how angry you were, how disappointed you were in them? Did you have a go at them? They've been doing this all year." She said, "No, I prayed for them. I prayed for them." And I'm just like, wow, a six-year-old could see through it. And she prayed for them. And she said that actually we are not born with a dislike of each other, with a distrust. That is taught. We do not learn, we're not born with this prejudice, with this like demonization of other people. We're born and we know none of that, but it is taught to us. And I can't help but feel a bit angry about the state of the world sometimes, and about racism as well. So can I have another weight to my bag? Elijah, have you got one for me? Yeah? It's getting quite heavy now. This talk isn't going to go much longer because I'll collapse otherwise. Here we go, another weight. Oh, that's good. Thank you. And actually, Benji, can I have another one? That was quite a big story. I feel pretty churned up by it. I don't know who you've started to think about during this talk. If it's someone close to you, a family member, a friend, or if it's someone far off, someone you feel you've been badly wronged by. And can you put that in my bag, Benji? Thank you so much. Oh my gosh. And then you've come through this door this morning, and you don't realize it, but you are carrying a weight. And you might not have even known it's there, you've just got used to it. You know, I'm always this heavy, aren't I? I'm just used to it, it's just me. Well, this morning, let's try and say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Let's let go of that poison that is in our lives. And let's be purified by the Holy Spirit so that we might see humanity for what it is. We might see the children of God that are loved by God, instead of enemies, instead of demons, instead of hate. Let's pray. Jesus, would you take this bag off my back? Would you take this bag off our back? This weight that we carry around. Holy Spirit, would you come and just purify our hearts? This world just shouts loud and clear that we should never forgive and never forget. We should be angry. But that is not the truth, Lord. We are to forgive them again and again for when hurt comes. And only then can we be free to be fully human, to be made in your image, and to live as we're meant to live. So God, this morning, whether it's putting a letter in the mailbox or if it's just raising our hands to you now, Lord, we give you our hurts. We give you our pain. Jesus, would you help us to forgive our enemies, even those that are imagined? Search us, Lord. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.